The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Thanks for coming along for the Monday edition of the Stay Home with John and Kathy. Kathy, good to see you as well.
Thank you, John. Appreciate
that. Yes, beautiful day out there. Super, super hot. We should be at the beach.
I don't know if I'd call it beautiful. Am I too hard to please? I perhaps am.
Well, look, if it was January, wouldn't you be pining for this kind of day?
I know. Thank you for bringing it up. I think I'm just an ingrate.
No, I'm not saying you're an ingrate.
No, I think I am.
I mean, you know, you're sitting in a room that's not air-conditioned currently, so, of course, it may be a little hot. What's the deal with that? Again, I'm going to ask you about this. I got my air conditioner in 3 days. It's been like 3 weeks for you.
This is what happens when you choose the wrong place to buy something. Now, I've done this one time this summer.
Yeah.
My husband's now done it another time. I bet you October 1, I
it'll
get the air conditioner.
Up. Oh, that isn't good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for you.
Exactly when I don't need it is when it'll arrive.
But the good news is you have an air conditioner in there from 1964.
It's so very, very loud.
It is loud.
Very loud. Can you hear it now?
No, I can't hear it now.
Okay. I have it on. I forgot to turn it off before we're going to air. I'll be sure to fix that.
No, it's fine.
But it's actually on a day like today, pretty imperative.
Yes, it is. Very much so.
If I didn't have it, I think I would have to call in sick. And you know what it would be? Sick and tired.
Sick and tired of the heat. Okay. But listen, if we were at the beach, right, we would get the cool breeze off the ocean, basking in the sun. Put on some sunscreen, lay back, you're totally protected. Everything is good, right?
Except that I understand that now, like we didn't have enough things to worry about.
Right.
Sunscreen chemicals are accumulating in my body.
That's right. Apparently, this is from the Wall Street Journal, sunscreen chemicals accumulate in body at high levels.
Great.
Okay. So now even going to the beach is difficult. The FDA ran these clinical trials. They put 48 healthy participants randomly assigned to use one of four sunscreen products.
Okay.
The formulations included lotions and then several kinds of sprays. Participants applied the sunscreen to 75% of their body once on the first day, four times on days two through four, and then six times on the final day of the application. The researchers then collected 34 blood samples over 21 days from each participant, and they found that concentrations of the active ingredients increased after each day of application, suggesting that they had accumulated within the bloodstream.
Okay, but nobody wants chemicals accumulating in their bloodstream. I get that that sounds bad, but is it dangerous?
All of the ingredients remained above the FDA threshold of safety on day seven. And two of the ingredients remained there for 21 days. So if they're above the FDA's safety measure and you're putting sunscreen on, all of a sudden you're injecting poison into your bloodstream.
Is it poison, though?
Well, I think it is.
I don't know. I mean,
I think it is.
I don't know if it's poison. I mean, it sounds terrible, but is it one of those headlines that you're like, now, wait a minute. Now, it sounds bad, but if I knew anything about chemistry or how my body works, that maybe it wouldn't be that bad. Maybe chemicals are always building up in my body, and this is just another one to add to the list.
Maybe so. A spokesperson for the Personal Care Products Council, a national trade association, there will be no deadline, quote, for the FDA to issue a final order on sunscreen safety. But if and when such an order is issued, it may not take effect for at least 1 year after the proposed order. In the meantime, consumers who wish to find out more about their sunscreen can consult the Environmental Protection Agency Working Group, a nonprofit research. I don't know.
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of the food pyramid.
Why?
because you remember all the years we were growing up, there was the food pyramid,
yeah.
right? And so you had at the bottom, you had your carbohydrates, right? And then at the top, you had your sweets or whatever it was. I don't exactly remember the food pyramid, which should be part of the problem. But currently, now, there's no more food pyramid. That's bad. You should not have the bulk of your diet be carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. Depending on who you ask, the bulk of your diet should be protein, or it should be vegetables, right. or whatever it is. They've totally ruined the food pyramid. Whatever they told me was wrong. Now I have to go back and redo everything. And these same people, I'm not seriously saying the same people, but the authorities were telling me that I shouldn't go outside without sunscreen because I was putting myself at risk for skin cancer.
Right.
So then I covered myself with sunscreen, and now I've got chemicals accumulating.
Right. So my advice is go to the beach, put on some sunscreen, sit back and have a cigarette and cover all your bases. I don't know. I mean, what do you do? You want to go outside in the sun. You don't want skin cancer. So, I mean, look, it's not like we're living in Florida or, you know, somewhere where we're living in Pittsburgh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, but we've had enough sun this summer for, I mean, several summers.
And you and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. Rooms.
Right. Yeah. As I talked to you in the spare room.
I mean, if you're like, you know, a landscaper or a mailman or a construction worker, right, of course you'd be concerned. But for most people, especially in Pittsburgh, how concerned can you be?
Okay, so you don't think I should be worried about the sunscreen chemicals accumulating?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Maybe good. When you retire and you move to South Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not moving to South Carolina, right, but thank you so much for saying that.
Pleasure.
All right, you guys, happy to have you along in the Monday edition of our show. Coming up next, one of our most popular guests, it's Greg Clugston, SRN News White House correspondent. Greg will talk to us live from inside the Beltway to tell us about the latest of what's going on in our nation's capital. That's coming up next. We're glad you're along. We'll be back in just a minute.
WORD.
Would you like God to call you into some form of service? That's a good thing to aspire to.
What came from humble beginnings is now one of the largest churches in America, driven by the mission of knowing God and making Him known.
Why do you have a hunger for holy things? Why are you interested in what the Bible says?
This station is excited to welcome A New Beginning with Greg Laurie to the weekday lineup.
Hear Greg Laurie at A New Beginning, 10:30 a.m. weekdays, beginning August 3rd.
Washington County parents, you have a choice in your child's education. So why not consider a private Christian school that's been serving the community for nearly 40 years? At Central Christian Academy in Houston, pre-K through 8th grade students receive the comprehensive education they need to propel them to the top of the class in high school and beyond. Central Christian Academy creates model student leaders other kids look up to. Students prepared for a world that needs Jesus. Schedule a private tour and learn more at ccaschool.com.
Hi, this is John Hall telling you how much I love MyPillow and how it's really changed my sleep. Check out the new mattress topper. It's truly amazing. I don't know if I love MyPillow or the MyPillow mattress topper more. Get a MyPillow mattress topper and get some of the best sleep of your life. It comes with a 10-year warranty and a cover that's washable and dryable. It is made in the USA and backed with Mike Lindell's 60-day money-back guarantee. MyPillow.com. Save 30%. Use promo code WORD or call 800-391-0954. When you do, Mike will give you two standard MyPillows for free. That's MyPillow.com, promo code WORD, or by calling 800-391-0954. Seriously, get the best night's sleep of your life. It's all about MyPillow, 800-391-0954.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you feel like there are more unanswered questions and few honest explanations about why so many of our liberties are under attack? Find out how we get back to a place of order and normalcy when you stream Morality in the 21st Century on Salem Now. Dennis Prager and Dr. Wayne Grudem confront the toughest social issues we face, and through never-before-told personal stories, you get a clear direction for a visionary future for this nation in this on-demand video special. Visit SalemNow.com to stream Morality in the 21st Century and type in the code Pittsburgh for a 20% discount. That's SalemNow.com.
Planning a vacation can be a lot of fun, but preparing for retirement, not so much. It's confusing. That's where Kevin Bach can help, showing you how to generate retirement income, how to choose a good Social Security claiming strategy, and how to help minimize your tax obligations. Call Kevin at 724-837-3553. Kevin Bach is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. Insurance and annuities offered through Kevin Bach, PA Insurance License Number 352896.
Well, if it is Monday, that means we go to the White House, where every Monday, Greg Clugston kicks off our show. Greg Clugston is the SRN News White House correspondent. Greg, happy Monday to you. How are you?
Hey, good, John. Thank you very much. And hi, Kathy. Great to be here on a Monday.
Yeah, we always like to welcome you on Monday. I mean, we'd welcome you any day, but since Monday is your day, then we're happy to set that time aside. Yeah, let's start with the remembrances, the celebration of the life of John Lewis. So just recently, it looks like a service has wrapped up that featured speeches by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, et cetera. Tell us about it.
Right. It was a ceremony really only attended by members of the legislative branch there at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. And usually for these kinds of services and tributes and memorials, you have a packed rotunda with, you know, hundreds of people there. But obviously because of social distancing and COVID, it was limited in attendance. And so the casket holding John Lewis is lying in state there at the rotunda, but it's going to be moved outside of the U.S. Capitol for an outdoor availability for the general public over the next day and a half. So it's a very unusual situation, obviously because of COVID being an unusual situation. So the Capitol is making those adjustments. So the casket was flown to Joint Base Andrews earlier today, and then it had a motorcade going through D.C., stopping and driving by the Martin Luther King Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial, the Black Lives Matter Plaza, which is very close now to the White House, and then also by the African American History Museum on the way to the Capitol. So it was a very planned out affair, as it has been for the last couple of days.
Greg, I was surprised to read that John Lewis was the first black lawmaker to lie in the rotunda.
That's right. He has that honor, and people have been paying their respects not only in his home state and parts of the South, especially over the weekend, but here in Washington. He was, you know, people talk about him being a civil rights icon, and he, of course, moved into the legislative branch and served as a member of the U.S. Congress for many, many years, but has that honor. And so the public, as I mentioned, also, again, are going to have the opportunity to pay their respects later tonight and a good bit of the day tomorrow as well.
Fabulous. Let's move forward and talk about Joe Biden. After a long, long wait, it appears as though that Joe Biden will soon announce his vice presidential choice.
Yeah, John, he mentioned back a number of weeks ago, a couple of months ago at least now, that he would like to, around the 1st of August, by the first of the month, be ready and be in a position to announce his vice presidential running mate. We don't know for certain if it's going to be on August 1 or near or about August 1st. And, of course, whatever his hopes and desires were for that timeline back a number of months ago versus what they are right now in terms of the reality of his decision-making, we don't know where that stands. But obviously, it's going to be close because the plan is to have him announce that prior to the Democratic National Convention, which starts in the middle of August. So we're really, possibly this coming weekend, possibly this time next week, we may be anticipating a move by Biden. The one thing, obviously, that we do know is he said that his choice is going to be a female. So we know it's going to be a woman on the ticket with him for the DNC.
Okay, so that means that you and John are not the choice.
No.
Are either of you disappointed by this?
No, thank you.
No comment.
Nope. No commenting is Greg Clugston, SRN News White House correspondent. Okay, so speaking of the coming election, it looks like all the conversation, all the planning about the GOP convention moving to Jacksonville was all for naught.
Yeah, this was a big announcement last week by the president. And it's very interesting, of course, because there was the whole battle that the president and the campaign had with the officials in North Carolina, primarily between the president and the North Carolina governor. The governor wasn't able to guarantee to the Republican National Committee that he could have that the president could have, you know, 20,000 people in a basketball arena for his acceptance speech. And so the president said, well, I'm going to find a place that will let that happen. And so that's when he moved to Jacksonville, and the Florida officials there were very pleased to welcome the RNC, and they were scrambling to make plans, which usually take place over the course of, you know, a year, year and a half, and they were going to do it in just a few months or a few weeks. But because of the coronavirus surge and the spike of cases in Florida, the president, the campaign, in conjunction with local officials in Florida, decided it's simply, we just simply can't do it. It's not safe to have a large gathering indoors of that size, even if it was going to be a scale in, you know, even if they were looking at 5,000 or 6,000 people versus 20,000 people. The president said this is just not the year to do that.
Right. So this is weird, Greg. So for the first time ever, both the Democrats and the Republicans are going to have super scaled down conventions.
Yeah, it's really something, and we don't even know all the details. In fact, later today, we're supposed to learn a few more logistics from the Democratic Party officials as to how they're going to be rolling out their convention plans. They still are planning to have Joe Biden give his acceptance speech in Milwaukee on Thursday night of convention week, which is in the middle of August. And so that's the traditional night during convention week that the candidate, the nominee, receives the and accepts the nomination. So he's going to be doing it there. We don't know. We do not know where President Trump is going to be giving his acceptance speech. They're still working out those plans and details, but we know it's not going to be in Jacksonville, and we're not sure where yet, but he says they're going to be doing something probably online, but perhaps there will be some sort of an appearance by him somewhere. We're just waiting to find that out.
So, Greg, as we speak about the Democrats and Republicans, has there been any talk at all? I know there's been rumors, but has there been any talk at all about proposed debates? May a debate happen or several debates happen?
Well, even before the COVID was really, you know, the lockdown restrictions and the pandemic had really taken hold, there were already plans for the traditional three face-to-face presidential debates and the one vice presidential debate. And so those dates are already locked in. One, the first one comes in the end of September, and the other three debates happen during the month of October. And they're spaced out between 7 and 10 days in between each of those events. And so those are still on the calendar as we speak. But like a lot of things, including the conventions, we've seen things adjusted and scaled back, if not canceled. So we'll have to wait and see on those debates.
We're talking to Greg Clugston, SRN News White House correspondent. Greg, let's do a comparison and contrast. I mean, you covered a lot of presidential elections. It's hard for me to even believe we're 100 days from an election because there's so little movement. There aren't crowds. It's just so different.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because on one hand, there are any number of Americans who believe, and maybe people outside the country looking in on the U.S. wondering, why does the election process in the United States take so long? And, you know, it's spread out over months, if not, you know, years, but certainly in the months leading up to Election Day, and here we are 99 or 100 days away from Election Day this year in 2020. And you're right, it looks and feels completely different because we simply have an absence of the typical retail politicking that we have grown accustomed to in the American system. And we just don't have these rallies, we don't have speeches. Typically, the candidates are going to, you know, county and state fairs this time of year and, you know, eating fried Oreo cookies and all the rest, you know, trying to win votes. But we're just not seeing any of that. It's all virtually online, or the president will make some political type comments when he's conducting his business as president as well.
I see. So COVID covers everything in 2020. Let's talk about COVID relief. I know that the White House and the Senate have been talking about extending the $600 unemployment bonus, as well as perhaps a new stimulus check. Eviction orders are about to be lifted right now. So things are in motion here. But of course, as always, they are partisan.
They are partisan, and of course, it was last week that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he was hoping to make an announcement last week about what the plan was in terms of their aid proposal. And so, like a lot of things, as you mentioned, John, Democrats and Republicans are far apart on this. the price tag that the White House and Senate Republicans are proposing or looking at right now. And by the way, we're supposed to be receiving details possibly later this afternoon, early this evening, if not tomorrow morning. So we're very close to learning a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of the GOP plan. But it's about $1 trillion. And the Democrats in the House are looking at something in the neighborhood of $4 trillion. So just on the price tag alone, you can see the gulf between the two parties. And it's amazing when you think about we're talking trillions of dollars here, which we typically don't talk about, but obviously coronavirus has changed everything. One thing that the GOP is concerned about, they've been talking about this, is extending these additional $600 uninsurance benefits on top of the state benefits that people out of work would receive. There's any number of people that are concerned that, and it's true that in some cases there are out-of-work employees who are receiving more because of that extra $600 a week than they would have if they were receiving and working and receiving their normal paycheck. And so Republicans would like to scale that back just to, you know, have it be an incentive for people to go to work and for you know, for employers to hire their workers back on the job as well.
Wow. Greg Clugston with us live from the White House. Greg, let's talk about Trump's national security advisor. Robert O'Brien has tested positive for the coronavirus.
Yeah, we learned that this morning. This is somebody who's in the inner circle of the president and the White House. He has an office in the West Wing just down the hall from the Oval Office. He travels with the president on a regular basis, is in, you know, meetings on a regular basis. It turns out that Robert O'Brien was, he had a few days off last week, and then the president was in New Jersey at his golf resort over the weekend. So it looks as if there were a few days where the two weren't face-to-face. We don't know the exact timeline or the exact, you know, contract tracing between the two of them, but it looks as if it might have been a few days. And of course, anybody who's working in close proximity to either the president or the vice president are tested for COVID on a regular basis. Obviously, O'Brien would be. We learned from the economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, who was talking to reporters on the White House driveway this morning, that it looks as if O'Brien was home enjoying some family time, and it might have been a college-age son or daughter who maybe infected him with COVID in terms of just interaction with the family members. But in any case,
always the kids, Greg. Always the kids.
Blame the kids, right?
Yeah.
But the
sure.
White House says he has mild symptoms. He is self-isolating. He's working at from a secure location, you know, because he's dealing with national security matters, that kind of thing. So that's where things stand. Now, the White House put out a statement saying that there is absolutely no risk of exposure to the president or vice president, but you have to be careful with those kinds of statements when you're talking about a very infectious disease.
No doubt. So, Greg, what about that? The president, of course, all around him in that circle, I'm sure they're tested often. But you, as a member of the press, you're at the White House, and you go to the press briefings. You've traveled with the president himself. What about the press themselves? How often are you tested?
Yeah, so we've talked about this before, where when we have a we have this rotating basis for the members of the travel pool or the in-house White House pool of reporters. So there are about 12 or 13 of us on any given day, and we take turns as news organizations. And so when you are in that group as a member of the pool, that is the day that as a reporter I am tested for COVID by the White House medical staff. And so they do that as a precaution at the beginning of the day. And if we don't hear back from the medical staff, that means that it was a negative test. We tested negative for COVID, and that we're good to go to be in close proximity if the president were to hold a speech or if we were in the Oval Office and asking him questions or traveling on Air Force One. So reporters are basically, the short answer is every reporter who is in close proximity on any given day to either the president or vice president is tested earlier that morning.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, just as the president comes into contact, like, you know, with people who have been infected or almost in contact, I mean, has the press pool itself been infected by one way or another?
There have been, since March, either I can't remember if it's two or three, but it's a very small number. But there have been two or three cases where there was suspected infection because of symptoms and that kind of thing. And as a precaution, the entire press corps and the White House are notified when that happens. We typically don't know the identity of the reporter that's in that category. The first couple of times it happened where they were suspected, their tests ended up coming back negative, and I think there was maybe one case where it was positive, but they were mild, asymptomatic situation. So it was very minor. But yeah, we're tracking that very, very closely.
Yeah. Fascinating. Okay, Greg, just about a minute left. How about the Miami Marlins? You know, they have a COVID outbreak. They lose two games out of their season. The MLB's like all, you know, nervous about it. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thinking is baseball had the best shot of team sports of actually making it happen in terms of playing games during COVID pandemic. And the reason I say that is because there's less contact during the actual game, typically in baseball, right, than there is, for example, of basketball and football. So I thought of those three sports. And then in hockey, I guess you could throw that in there as well. But I just am pessimistic about the professional sports being able to make it through, you know, even a shortened season because of this. Because it's, you know, we're talking about the infectious nature of this COVID. So it's very disappointing, especially after they just got the games going here a couple of days ago.
Truly is. Well, Greg, we certainly covered a lot of ground in a little bit of time, and your input is so valuable to us. So always, thank you so much for your time with us.
Happy to do it, you guys. Have a good week.
Thank you. Greg Clugston, SRN News White House correspondent. Information about Greg at wordfm.com.
Audiences everywhere are saying Uncle Tom is a must-see movie.
Fantastic.
Absolutely wonderful.
Excellent.
Breathtaking.
A movie that is changing hearts and minds.
I really feel inspired.
We're going to put up statues because of what this film may do.
An eye-opening masterpiece of the real history of America.
They want to cover up history.
I didn't study that kind of stuff when I was in history.
They are actively learning their history wrong.
Why have you hidden this from me?
Starring Larry Elder.
And Uncle Tom is somebody who has sold out by embracing the white man.
Candace Owens.
I'm a black female. I should be at the top of the progressive stack.
Brandon Tatum.
They believe that I want to be accepted in the white community. Kind of like the house Negro back in slavery.
And Herman Cain.
As my late grandfathers used to say, I does not care.
These are the voices of the movie Uncle Tom.
Purchase now at UncleTom.com. Use promo code Pittsburgh for 20% off.
My wife and I have had this conversation 700 times. Honey, where would you like to go for dinner? Oh, I don't care. Whatever you think. Okay, how about Restaurant 1? Oh, no, definitely not Restaurant 1. How about Restaurant 2 instead? Oh, please don't ever make me go back to Restaurant 2. And it soon becomes clear that we need a restaurant advisor for a decision that big. It's Ryan, and in many ways, our faith and family mortgage team is kind of like a restaurant advisor, but for mortgages. We're big on presenting you with your options and then letting you decide. As in, refinancing to a 30-year loan will make your payment this and save you that over the 30 years. Or a 20-year refinance will mean this and that. Or you could cash out this much of your current equity and end up with this and that. If you'd like to see your options, know that we're committed to never pressuring even one Word FM listener. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
Your potential customers are on social media. Learn the tools you need to make them yours during the 2020 Marketing and Social Media Virtual Summit. Streaming live to your desktop August 4th. Presented by Salem Surround and WORD. With the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. A day filled with industry-leading insight designed to help you master the art of social media to attract your ideal customers who will love, hire, and tell the world about you. August 4th from 8 to 3. Reserve now at pghnorthchamber.com.
Today's forecast calls for clear skies, slight winds coming out of the northeast, and customized car insurance from Liberty Mutual, so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
101.5 WORDFM, Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying, play the word Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
Tonight, cloudy and humid with a couple of showers and a heavy thunderstorm below 68. Tomorrow, cloudy with a shower or thunderstorm around in the morning, then becoming less humid, high 85. partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 64. Wednesday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high Wednesday, 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Brian May.
Let's go Bucks, or not. So 5 days after Major League Baseball hit the reset button,
yep,
it appears as though the plans for a 60-game season are in jeopardy already. The Miami Marlins, over the weekend, looks like they're going to lose, what, a dozen players, Kath?
Yeah, so I think they had four players test positive yesterday, and then they had another 11 that tested positive today, this morning.
Right. So now that also infects their recent opponent, the New York Yankees. And, of course, games are going to be canceled, at least in the short term. From that perspective, Pirates are still going to play this evening, but it's not a good omen. If you can't control this just quickly out of the gate, things do not look good for a Major League Baseball.
I'm not sure what their contingency plans are. I hope they have them. But, you know, I'm kind of eager to see how – I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, until we have a vaccine, we have to find a way to try.
Right.
And so if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to be upset that Major League Baseball tried. I'm going to be glad that they tried. But I really still am holding out hope that they're going to be able to do this somehow. They're just going to have to work around what we all know is coming, and that is positive test results. I mean, we're already dealing with that with the Pirates. Keone Kella has been in quarantine for almost a month. I think it was the end of June that he found out he tested positive for the first time. And, you know, we're still waiting. So we don't have a closer. Of course, it worked out just fine yesterday.
Yeah, sure. For one day.
Yeah. And Gregory Polanco, of course, is the other player who's sidelined with COVID. Right. I don't know if he's symptomatic or not. I know Kella's not symptomatic. But, you know, it's a lot.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you just heard Greg Clugston talk about this. I mean, baseball is probably the most distant sport of all. So, you know, everyone's thinking, oh, the NFL is going to play, or the NBA is going to play, or the Penguins are going to play in the NHL. If baseball can't do it properly, I think scant hope for any of the other sports.
I agree, especially football. Football, to me, is the one that's just I cannot imagine any way that an offensive and defensive line can line up opposite each other and not give each other the coronavirus.
Right, right. But, on, you know, on the good side, when you look about the Pens coming back, maybe players will be less inclined to, you know, to get into fights. It'll just keep the game going faster.
Well, so funny you should bring that up. So yesterday, the Pirates were the team that had the first socially distanced dispute.
I saw that.
Okay. Yeah. And I watched it unfold, and it was very, very funny. Okay.
It was awkward, wasn't it?
It was so awkward, right? So they have the pitchers who aren't playing, they have them sitting in the stands instead of in the dugout, right? And so one of the pitchers, Derek Holland, starts complaining to the ump about this, let's see, who was on the home plate ump called a strike on Jared Dyson. And Derek Holland got mad. So he's yelling at the ump. The ump gets mad, and Derek Shelton goes out to like tell the ump exactly what he thought. And then they like stopped and they were like, wait a minute, can we fight? Can we argue?
The Pirate manager was looking for his mask. He put it on kind of like halfway. The whole thing was very awkward.
And then when he got out there, they got close. Then they were like, no, we're not close.
Yeah, right.
And then they both kind of laughed because it was all of a sudden dumb.
And the player got thrown out of the game. He just got up and walked out of the stands, probably to get some popcorn or something, it looked like. It's just a really weird thing. Yeah. First social interaction during a baseball game.
I don't know. Listen, when I laid down for my Sunday afternoon nap yesterday and the game was on, it was.
Felt good, didn't it? It felt really good. I was driving in the car the other day and I was on the radio. I was like, oh, look, there's baseball.
I love it. And it's on every day.
Yeah, I know. It'll be on tonight.
It's so terrific. Hey, I do want to give a shout out to JT Brubaker. John, yesterday's game was his MLB debut, and he was so blisteringly awesome. I mean, I was cheering alone in my living room. Two scoreless innings, four strikeouts. He was a beast.
Nice.
Okay. Don't you love to see a major league debut?
Heck yeah, man. When a pitcher steps up, it's really exciting for everybody.
Yes.
I mean, you know, in normal circumstances, like Derek Shelton, the Pirate manager, his whole family would be there. It's his parents, his wife, his kids, all that. But of course, you know, no one's in the PNC Park. However, tonight, because it's opening night at PNC Park, I imagine around the perimeter of PNC Park, the super, super diehard fans will be there hanging onto the gates looking for just some touch of the game. Don't you think?
That's really sad. If that's the case, that's sad.
I think that's what's going to happen. I kind of thought that I might just drive by, you know.
That's not the same as hanging onto the gate, looking longingly through.
Maybe somebody would be, you know, people are going to be standing on the river walk looking for a home run coming
over.
Yeah.
Right? That would be nice.
Cool. Anyway.
Very nice.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Okay. Tim Uhlhoff is going to be with us. Groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
The mob. Yes. We're used to that now in this new age that we live in. We'll talk about that. What do we think about groupthink? Stick around. It's the Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
WORD.
It's back to school time. So whether your kids will be back at school wearing masks or you're keeping them at home, one thing will stay the same.
Back to school is expensive.
So let us help. Enter the Back to School Sweepstakes.
You could win $2,500 to help pay for school supplies and kids' clothing. Then your school gets an additional $2,500.
There are lots of ways to enter. Find out how you and your school could be a winner. Sign up at wordfm.com.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
This is the story they don't want you to see. Told by people they don't want you to hear. At a time when so many desperately need to hear it. This is the story of Uncle Tom.
Most people are completely oblivious to the history of the Democratic Party.
Starring Larry Elder, Candace Owens, Herman Cain, Brandon Tatum. Hear their stories of how their life was changed when they finally figured out the truth. Go to UncleTom.com. Buy it now on pay-per-view. UncleTom.com. This is their story of redemption and hope.
Your potential customers are on social media. Learn the tools you need to make them yours during the 2020 Marketing and Social Media Virtual Summit, streaming live to your desktop August 4th, presented by Salem Surround and WORD with the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, a day filled with industry-leading insight designed to help you master the art of social media to attract your ideal customers who will love, hire, and tell the world about you August 4th from 8 to 3. Reserve now at pghnorthchamber.com.
Trip to Europe. Visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. Go skydiving. Okay, so you know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune into Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kenodic and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group Saturdays at 10 a.m. to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do the things you've always dreamt about doing in retirement. Listen every Saturday morning at 10 to Your Retirement Blueprint with Accurate Solutions Group. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
You go to church, that's one of your groups, right?
Right.
You're part of a homeschool network, that's part of your group. You belong to, you know, the Rotary, the Kiwanis, or whatever. You belong to a group of people. So are the groups that we belong to, do they help us think about issues, or are they merely just confirming our biases of who we are as people? Dr. Tim Uhlhoff is with us once again. Tim is a regular guest on our show. He is professor of communications at Biola University, the author of Winsome Persuasion, Christian Influence in a Post-Christian World, also his latest, Defending Your Marriage, The Reality of Spiritual Battle. Tim, welcome to this group. How are you, sir?
Yeah.
Thank you. I love being a part of this group.
Yes, we love that you are. Thank you.
Well, good. Okay, but help us to understand what we need to recognize or know, even before we evaluate anything. What do we have to know about the groups we're in?
Yeah, so about 20 years ago, Yale psychologist Irving Janis came up with this concept called groupthink. Now, I think all of us have kind of heard that term. Sure. It's been floating around for a while, but he did a great job of saying, here are the three top symptoms of groupthink. First, you overestimate the ability of your group. It's like, hey, we got our own group. We don't need outside voices. We have experts. We have theologians. We don't need anybody else. We're good. Boy, that can apply to a church and a Christian university very quickly. Second, you are isolated from other groups. You really don't talk to people outside of your group. So everybody kind of thinks the same. When I was in seminary, I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe in Reformed theology, but I was attending a Reformed seminary. And the professor was asked a question by a student, what should we do about the sin of Arminianism, which is the counter perspective? And he started to answer the question. And I raised my hand. I said, hey, wait a minute, the sin of Arminianism? And he goes, oh, yeah, that probably was too harsh. Yeah, I don't think it's sin to be an... But that would have gone unchallenged if there wouldn't have been somebody to raise their hand, right? And again, Arminian seminaries do the same thing. And then lastly, loyalty is the highest value. You're loyal to the group, you're loyal to the cause, and anything that deviates from that, Barack Obama called a circular firing squad is formed, where you shoot anyone in the group that begins to think well of the other side or begins to think maybe this issue isn't as pressing as we were making it out to be. So Janis said those were the top views of groupthink, and once you're in it, it's hard to get out of it.
Right. Okay. So hard to believe that 20 years ago when this phrase was first coined, that you would flash forward to where we are today and society, whether it's political, social, civil, religious, or whatnot. I mean, groupthink has inflamed us all.
Oh, it really has. So I think I've mentioned to both of you that we are launching the Winsome Conviction Project, fully funded for 5 years, helping people talk to each other in civil ways, compassionate ways. Well, we have tried this with professors, and we literally had a conversation about a particular issue, and both professors at the time thought it went well. Like, hey, this was good. Like, this was productive. They went back to their groups and got deprogrammed. Both professors came back to us and said, we're really upset about how that evening went. We thought it was unfair. So if we don't reach groups, then it doesn't matter if you reach an individual, because if they go back to their group and get deprogrammed, right, then we're never going to change anything. So we've realized with the Winsome Conviction Project, we've got to speak to groups, not individuals. And it's very difficult to do. Groups do not want to invite outside perspectives. So let me just, so something interesting happened. I want to be fair to this. So as I was waiting for you to bring me on, I was kind of listening to it and kind of not, but there was something, an advertisement for Uncle Tom, a documentary of, telling the true story of Democrats. Was I correct in hearing that announcement?
Yeah, that's a film that was put out by Larry Elder, who is a talk show host in Los Angeles and works for the Salem Network, as we do. And yeah, that's his new documentary. That's
okay, so let me just use that. Having never seen it, let me just use that as an illustration of groupthink. So obviously, I have a PhD in communication. I'm going to take a wild shot and say that's not very favorable towards Democrats. Okay, so if you're in your group and you watch this documentary, and it paints the Democratic Party in its worst light possible, but you're sitting in the group saying, you know. I don't think the Democrats are that bad, and maybe they're even right on a couple issues. Groupthink is present if you can't imagine saying that. Mm-hmm. Like, if I do voice that opinion about the other side, am I going to get, like a circular firing squad? We're going to start to shoot people because what do you mean there's good things about the other side? There's nothing good about the other side. That's groupthink. And it can go conservative, liberal, conservative, but it keeps everybody quiet because you don't want to be the lone voice to say, I'm sorry, maybe Biden's not that bad. Maybe he's got some good things, and right? So that's when uniformity isn't necessarily the problem. Groupthink is where I literally can't say what I want to say because it's going to go against the group, and I'll feel like a traitor.
Which, you know, Tim, is being adjudicated in mainstream media right now. You know, the Barry Weiss resignation from the Wall Street Journal was about exactly that, right? She's saying, look, everybody here at this newspaper who hired me to come here because of my viewpoint has now decided that my viewpoint disqualifies me from any sort of like rational, normal interaction with people. Everybody's bullying me. People don't want to hear my opinion, and I'm out.
Right. And Andrew Sullivan wrote a very eloquent letter as well. He felt like he's being forced out of the New York Times as well because he wasn't liberal enough. It's rife everywhere. This is why Deborah Tannen says we live in the argument culture. So how do you change this? I think we start with our own groups. So what do we
do?
What's that?
How do you change it, Tim? I mean, look,
because let me give you two ideas.
Okay.
One, select a leader who solicits opinions outside the group.
Hmm.
A leader, it has to come from the top down or you're not going to get anywhere. But a leader who says, we're going to give a charitable reading of the other side. We're going to read one of the best representations of what they believe. We're going to watch a fair representation produced by them. And then the second one is let's invite people in. Let's invite people into our group that are outside the group, and we're going to have charitable rules of how we're going to engage, but we're going to listen to what these individuals have to say. And then third, I would say this. Adopt rules of how you talk about the other side when they're not present.
Right.
Mm. I've made this argument forever. How we talk about people privately is exactly how we are going to talk about them publicly. So I'm concerned if this documentary is painting Democrats in the worst possible light, because we have to be charitable. And so we're starting a podcast called the Winsome Conviction Podcast, and one of our first podcasts is, let's paint a humanizing view of both Vice President Biden and President Trump, a charitable view of both of them. And so it's the podcast that's sure to offend everybody, right?
Good. Good job. I mean,
but we got to do that. So I think those three, if we adopted them, is a leader who will approve this. Yeah, we're going to read the other side. We're going to listen to the other side. We're going to invite them in, and we are going to be careful how we talk about people when we're the in-group. I think if we did those three things, it would go a long way. But here's what happens. The other group doesn't adopt it. We know we're being talked about badly by that group, and so we immediately kick away 1 Peter 3:9, you know, do not give an insult for an insult, or rather give a blessing to an insult. We throw that away and we say, well, if you're going to talk about us like that, then we're going to talk about you. That you produce a documentary, we're hitting you right back with our documentary. That's the argument culture. And I think as Christians who are supposed to be the sons of God, peacemakers, I think we need to move away from it.
I agree. I love it. Okay, so Tim, I praise you. I hope in reality this does come to fruition. Because look, you yourself, you're teaching it on a college campus. And the college campuses, they themselves are super ripe right now, right? They'll invite someone onto campus to speak, whether it's whomever, Ben Shapiro or Gloria Steinem. And, you know, the mob reaches up and goes, no, not on our campus. That's not allowed. So it's learned from a very early age that we are in our group and we are not going to go outside of our group.
John, I totally agree. And this is where the church has always been countercultural. It's always sought to do the opposite, right? Table fellowship with known sinners is what Jesus did, right? So we, as Biola University, and again, we're just one part of Biola. We're a small little group starting. We're advocating we bring people on campus. Now we're hit with this objection immediately. No way are we giving the microphone to that person. We give the microphone to that person, we are condoning his or her perspective. And I'm arguing, no, giving the microphone to a person is not condoning that person's perspective. Yeah. It's acknowledging it, and we can push back, of course.
Very good. Well, so look, Tim, as one of your projects, look at Uncle Tom the movie and invite Larry Elder to come and speak to the Winsome Conviction Project.
No way, John. No way. Yes, of course.
Do as I say.
Not as I do. I'm telling you, you'd have a great time. You'd
you really
be glad
would.
You
He's
did
fabulous.
It.
You know what, John and Kathy? That's an awesome idea, and I'm going to propose that because my antennas went up immediately, and I'm probably just illustrated for all your listeners how to judge something before I even know fully what it is.
Very
but
good.
I think that's a great idea is to bring on – yeah, love it.
All right.
Terrific.
Tim
Mulhoff
from Biola University. Tim, always a pleasure. Thank you for being part of our group.
I love it.
See right, you later, Tim.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk about the deaths over the weekend of Olivia de Havilland, Regis Philbin, Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac. Stick around. It's the obituary section on The Ride Home.
Scream. We all scream for ice cream. That's exactly what's happening every day at the Springhouse in 84. We're literally up to our elbows in ice cream. But who could resist a cotton candy ice cream cone? Or how about cookie dough? Or Heath Crunch? Or even raspberry chocolate yogurt? You've just got to try them all. If not a cone, then how about a toasted almond fudge ball? Creamy vanilla ice cream rolled in toasted chopped almonds and topped with gooey hot fudge and real whipped cream. Or better yet, a strawberry ice cream shortcake made with real old-fashioned shortcakes, smothered with sliced strawberries, and again, real whipped cream. Jump in the car now, head to 84 in the Springhouse, where we want you to scream for ice cream.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart.
In the 2016 race for president, Donald Trump was not the first choice for many Christian voters. His personal history made it unimaginable that he would defend Christian values as president, or so we thought. In his new book, For God and Country, The Christian Case for Trump, Dr. Ralph Reed shows that President Trump has kept his promises and been the most effective presidential defender of religious liberty and the pro-life cause since Reagan. It's required reading in 2020. For God and Country, the new book by Ralph Reed, available wherever books are sold.
WORD celebrates the high school class of 2020, and we'd like to reward your college-bound senior's achievement during our Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes presented by Salem Media Group. Enter now through August 20th for a chance to win a $500 school package. Click the contest banner at wordfm.com and upload a photo of your senior with a short bio of their future plans. Then, Friday, August 21st, one lucky senior will win a $500 school package. The Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes, brought to you in part by Salem Media Group, Salem Surround, and this state.
Well, sorry to hear the passing of two icons, and I don't want to use that word loosely, but Olivia de Havilland passed away this weekend at 104 years.
Wow.
And Regis Philbin, he's a youngster. He passed away at the age of 88. And the guy from Fleetwood Mac, I, to be honest, I don't even know who he is, Kath. Do you know who he
Peter
is?
Peter Green.
Peter Green, 73 or so.
You know, I mean, I'm not a fan of the band.
I know you're not. You poo-poo Fleetwood Mac all the time. But Olivia de Havilland.
I don't know if poo-poo is the right way.
Oh, you poo-poo big time. No, you really do. Are you a fan of Olivia de Havilland?
I know her name, but really don't know who she, I mean, I knew she was an actress, but that's all I knew.
Listen, one of my all-time favorite movies called The Heiress.
Which
Montgomery Clift and Ralph Richardson. Oh, what a movie. Fabulous movie. It's from an O. Henry novel. Just really an incredible movie. She won, I don't think she won the Oscar. Of course, you know her from Gone with the Wind.
Right.
She was nominated for an Oscar five different times.
Was she?
And, yeah. Olivia de Havilland essentially was the Kurt Flood of Hollywood. Because Kurt Flood was known in baseball as breaking the union, breaking, you know, the owner's back. Olivia de Havilland was part of the contract, you know, the contract players, and these people were signed to these long-term contracts. Well, she would have none of it. She went to court, and the court ruled in her favor, so it really essentially broke the Hollywood star system. She's fabulous. Regis Philbin set a Guinness Book of World Record for most hours logged on television. In Regis Philbin's career, more than 18,000 hours on television.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And I'm telling you, any show that you can name. He was on Phineas and Ferb. He was on, you know, American Bandstand. He was on The Joey Bishop Show, Johnny Carson, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, America's Got Talent. He goes back to the 1950s when he was this page for The Johnny Carson Show. And, I mean, it just take a moment and read Regis Philbin's story. It's just really an incredible story.
Wow. I was really sad to read that he passed away. He was a lot older than I expected, and it made me sad because he just always seemed like an affable just character, just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Which is probably why he logged that many hours on TV, because I wasn't alone in thinking that.
He was kind of one of those everyman who could do just a little bit of everything and do it well.
Yeah.
It paid him very handsomely over his career.
Sure.
So kudos to Regis Philbin, Olivia de Havilland, and the poor man from Fleetwood Mac, who I don't know his name. What's his name?
Peter Green.
Yeah. Rumors.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app, at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell takes the wraps off his next coronavirus relief bill. That's coming up later today. The funeral for the late civil rights icon and Congressman John Lewis will be held Thursday at Atlanta's historic Ebenezer Baptist Church. Lewis's family has announced that funeral will be private. His body has arrived in Washington and is now lying in state at the Capitol. Stocks resumed their upward march on Wall Street while the price of gold rushed to a record high at the start of a week packed with potentially market-moving events. This week's headline event may be a two-day meeting for the Federal Reserve on interest rates, and that begins on Tuesday. The Dow gained 114 points today, the NASDAQ up 173, and the S&P 500 ahead 23 points. This is SRN News.
I know that on those tablets Mr. Moses brought down is the commandment to not covet. But I'll confess, my neighbor and his lawnmower is making it tough. He's got this stand-behind, ride-along space shuttle that covers probably three times more space than my trusty old lawn boy. So, when we have who mows the fastest races, which are completely fabricated in my head, he has some impressive advantages that I just don't have. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're blessed to have a pretty special advantage of our own, and one that could be a big deal for you. Our team is lucky to be an arm of a bigger company that is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330, Department of Banking, Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters, and downspouts, siding, and of course, windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for a free repair or replacement. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
Hey, are you guys open?
Yeah, we are. Come on in.
As businesses reopen across the nation, is your business prepared for what comes next? Salem Surround can help. COVID-19 brought America's thriving economy to a screeching halt. But now, local businesses are getting back to normal. Are you ready for the return to business and all that pent-up consumer demand? Contact Salem Surround.
Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Your potential customers are on social media. Learn the tools you need to make them yours during the 2020 Marketing and Social Media Virtual Summit, streaming live to your desktop August 4th, presented by Salem Surround and WORD with the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, a day filled with industry-leading insight designed to help you master the art of social media to attract your ideal customers who will love, hire, and tell the world about you August 4th from 8 to 3. Reserve now at pghnorthchamber.com.
Tonight, cloudy and humid with a couple of showers and a heavy thunderstorm, below 68. Tomorrow, cloudy with a shower or thunderstorm around in the morning, then becoming less humid, high 85. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 64. Wednesday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high Wednesday, 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Brian May.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Good afternoon. Greetings. The Monday edition of the Stay Home with John and Kathy. Happy that you're with us here today. I would say, truly, it is a beautiful day, although it's a tad hot. But
yeah, you think.
I mean, you know, it could be worse,
hot.
Right?
Yeah,
could
I'm
be a lot
just wiping
worse.
A little bit of sweat off my nose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How are things? We are on Zoom right now. We are Zooming on Facebook. If you want to check us out there, you can see us. You know, we've been doing this, since mid-March?
Yeah, I think so. March 15th might have been our first day.
People say, I don't know. You know, you don't sound like what I thought you looked like.
Well, we've been at home since March 15th. Oh, we've been on video for a lot longer than that.
We have been. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but if you'd like to watch the show as it unfolds for the next hour, please log on to Facebook and go to The Ride Home with John and Kathy or 101.5 Word FM, and we will wave and say hello.
Yes.
John, I have a couple ideas for you.
Yes.
If you are in a Zoom meeting, okay?
Which
we are in daily, of course, because we do the show on Zoom.
But this is different than a Zoom meeting.
It is. So if you're in a Zoom meeting with either your immediate supervisor or a group of people, the Wall Street Journal has published 7 rules of Zoom meeting etiquette that I think are absolutely awesome. And they are so good because I am in a lot of Zoom meetings. And so I recognize the mistakes that I have made or people have made. It's not obvious when you're making the mistakes, but it's super obvious when someone else is making them.
Right.
Okay. Would you like to hear what some of them are?
Sure. And now when you read these, have you flagged yourself as the guilty party?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I definitely have. Now, the first one, you and I are both guilty parties.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because Mike has told us about this.
Starting off on a high note.
Don't be late.
Oh, right.
So,
we're never late for the show.
For the show, but we have to do like a pre-show thing so that Mike can get our level set up, make sure the audio works, make sure the video works. We have been late for that.
And I don't want to cast aspersions, but more often than not, you're much later than I am.
This is how it works, Mike.
Okay.
I try to be forward thinking and generous in my approach, and it just comes back at me.
Mike, is that true? Can you support me?
Don't try to drag him in.
He knows the truth of it all. He knows the truth of it.
I'm going to play the fifth.
There we go. That's the way it works.
Chicken, yep. Thank you, big chicken.
Mike. An extra taco for you.
My bad shoulder. I can't do the funky chicken anymore.
Extra sad. Okay, Mike gets an extra taco at Saturday's party. Okay,
extra
number
yeah,
two. Now, this is something that I'm telling you, this is on my last nerve. I can't stand when you get on a Zoom meeting and people don't turn on their camera.
Oh, why does that bother you?
What are they doing?
Well, they're choosing to be, you know, they just want to hear the audio version.
No. They could be clipping their nails. They could be working on their hair. They could be reading a book. They could be doing some type of manual labor. There's a reason why there's a camera, and you should be on it, because otherwise it just seems like you don't care.
But no, see, how many times have you jumped on this crazy thing that we're doing now and you think, really, I got to go and, like, you know, sit, and I've got to, especially when there are strangers present.
That doesn't mean you don't do it.
Do you
it's
have
part
a
of your job?
Here's a little sidebar for this thing, which is part of the camera. I have, like, Zoom, I would call it Zoom shyness.
Okay.
Where, you know, there's a bunch of people that you've never met before, and all of a sudden, you know, there you are, and I'm a little shy, like I don't want to make contact with them.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I understand that, but I also think it's important to reach beyond that, because it's an awkward medium for everybody.
What does that mean, reach beyond that? What does that mean?
Well,
reach beyond
that. It's, well, you have to try, because it's an awkward medium for everybody.
Well, you know what I do? I find what I do. I come on, turn my camera on, and
this is going to be good.
And then I look in the corner, the far corner, so I don't have to look anybody in the eye.
That's good. That's a mature approach.
I just get too shy. I get a little anxious about it. It's weird. It's so weird. Why do we have to do this?
Mike, he's had a talk show in a major metropolitan city for about 20 years, and he's too shy to look at somebody in the eye on Zoom.
Yeah. It's just, I'm being honest. I just want to tell you my foibles. Psychologically, this is where I am.
Number three, sit still. Apparently, some people, according to the Wall Street Journal, get on Zoom and pace. Like they
pace.
Walk. But yeah,
they walk in the room.
Yeah.
Well, like, well, that's just, I as crazy as I am, I'm not going to do that.
Other people apparently decide to change locations during the meeting and grab the laptop and start walking.
What?
That's awkward.
People have done that?
I think that's very funny. Okay. Right. Number four, don't eat.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
Wouldn't that be horrible?
Someone having like a hoagie while you're having a Zoom meeting?
Yeah, and like chips are a big offender, apparently.
Chinese takeout, something.
Yes, you know. Apparently chips are annoying. Okay, the next one, this is what you were kind of speaking of. Get good at interrupting. The problem, you know, they teach you not to interrupt if you're in a room and you're all having a meeting. You know, you don't like the person who's always trying to get in the way of the conversation. But on Zoom, if people aren't, you know, it's hard to look at every person on the screen. And so if someone's trying to get into a conversation, you oftentimes wouldn't notice. And so you really need to interrupt if you think you have something important.
You need like one of those big foam fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. Wail it around.
Okay. Close the office door, which basically means you know, I don't think that the people on the meeting want to hear your kid in the bathroom.
Or the dogs barking.
Or your two cats fighting.
Clocks chiming, whatever that happens.
Right. Apparently, people were more excited to see people's pets at the beginning of the pandemic and not so excited now.
No, of course not. No one does. Yeah.
Okay. Don't multitask.
Well, like you're saying, like someone, you know, doing their accounting work or clipping their nails or something like that.
Yes.
Of course not. No.
Yeah.
Just
but
be present.
Apparently, and I can't really picture this, but there are people who are in Zoom meetings who on the same laptop that, you know, you're doing your Zoom meeting are like cruising the internet, looking up stuff like on the same computer. So they're like in a Zoom meeting and their face is probably like.
Right.
You know, like as they're look, because if you don't see yourself on there, you kind of forget that you're being, you know, filmed.
Yes.
And so if you start like looking on Amazon or like trying to do some shopping at, you know, HomeDepot.com, then people aren't going to like it.
And I would imagine, you know, of course, the larger the meeting, the more outrageous the behavior probably is, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, because your little tile. If you have a lot of people in your meeting, it's about that big.
Right. So you feel like, you know, I'm really not a participant in this. I'm just going to hang out and do my thing.
You.
Right.
Okay. Here's an ancillary article, but I think it feeds in. And that is the number one way, the number one thing you can do in any meeting, whether it's a Zoom meeting or it's an in-person meeting, to impress your boss and your coworkers, the single most important thing, put your phone away.
Oh, so instead of you looking down at your phone doing something else, just put your phone up and be present. Right.
The study says workers who look at their phones during a meeting create a perception that they are less competent and less effective. And of course, they are less engaged.
Yes. Less competent, less effective, less engaged.
One of the supervisors who was surveyed for this said, quote, "We know you can do work on your phone. You don't have to prove it to us."
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. So that's interesting, right?
It is very much so. Yeah.
So turn your camera on. Don't eat. get off your phone, and maybe leave your dog out of the room.
Right. All right. Good advice. So listen, let me just do a little side thing here. So we were talking to Greg Clugston a little earlier.
SRN News White House correspondent.
Yeah, we're talking to Greg Clugston about the politicians are arguing now about the end of the $600.
Right.
Right. And I need to sort of air this out a little bit. So if you, I say to our listeners, to our viewers, if you've been living on that $600, you know, with your unemployment, and that's about to end, is there chaos in your life about to erupt? Or, you know, is your mortgage about to be imperiled or your rent about to be somehow, you know, harangued? Do you think about that, Kath, about those?
Yeah, look, of course.
You and Mike and I, here we are together. We have been extremely fortunate to have our jobs. We are so grateful for the opportunity to be here. And I just thank you so much, you know, for the corporation. You know, we're existing on advertisers and everybody else who's part of this. So thank you. But we do know that there are millions of people who are without a job right now. And I wonder about that fear in people's lives as we're turning the calendar here and the government is slow to respond. We're talking, when Greg Clugston was talking about $4 trillion versus $1 trillion, and all of a sudden people in Washington, D.C., like, you know, your life is hanging in the balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm curious about that. Can we go to the phones and talk about this?
Sure. I'd love to talk about it.
If that's one of you, if that's you, or if it's not, where are you financially in the midst of the pandemic? How does that affect you? You know, here we are. You know, the eviction notices are people are ready to get kicked out of their apartments. I'd be curious about this. I just want to switch gears here because it's been on my heart lately because I'm grateful for where we are. Mm-hmm. Kath and Mike and I are. But we know that there are many people out there who are listening right now who don't have that opportunity, who don't have a job and still are waiting, right? Whether a job's available or another check's available, 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. I'd be really curious. Would you be so kind and give us some insight into where you are personally in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break, okay?
Sounds good.
It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy. Phone calls are open. Lines are open. 800-320-8255. Talk to us about the pandemic and your financial situation. We'll be right back in a few minutes. Stick around.
WORD.
It's back to school time. Whether your kids are returning to class with face masks or you're keeping them at home, one thing will stay the same. Back to school is expensive. So we'd like to help. Enter the Back to School Sweepstakes. You could win $2,500 for your kids' expenses. Then we pay an additional $2,500 to your school.
There are lots of ways to enter. Find out how you and your school could be a winner. Sign up at wordfm.com.
Worried about deductibles and copays, dental or vision? How about elective procedures? Marley Financial, they've got you covered. This is Kathy Emmons. Marley Financial is now offering a new health savings account that can be used for anything health related, anything. Copays and deductibles, any prescription, even elective procedures. Marley's new turbocharged health savings account can set you free of high premiums and out-of-pocket expenses. There's even a company matching component that can provide 2 or even 3-to-1 benefits. And because it's a contribution, not a premium, your value stays with you for the rest of your life. And if you recently lost your job and your health benefits, Marley has programs to get you the coverage you need when you need it most. Call Marley Financial today. 724-884-1496 and ask about their new turbocharged health savings account. That's 724-884-1496, Marley Financial, the most innovative agency in the marketplace at marleyfg.com.
Washington County parents, you have a choice in your child's education. So why not consider a private Christian school that's been serving the community for nearly 40 years? At Central Christian Academy in Houston, pre-K through 8th grade students receive the comprehensive education they need to propel them to the top of the class in high school and beyond. Central Christian Academy creates model student leaders other kids look up to. Students prepared for a world that needs Jesus. Schedule a private tour and learn more at ccaschool.com.
I was a little bit surprised but so happy to see how eager patients were to return to the office.
At Stock Family Dentistry, exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care.
They were just as eager or more eager than we were. I think that goes back to considering them part of our family. I think they feel a part of our family, and their loyalty and their friendship means everything to us.
Stock Family Dentistry on Perry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com. Your potential customers are on social media. Learn the tools you need to make them yours during the 2020 Marketing and Social Media Virtual Summit, streaming live to your desktop August 4th, presented by Salem Surround and WORD with the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. A day filled with industry-leading insight designed to help you master the art of social media to attract your ideal customers who will love, hire, and tell the world about you. August 4th from 8 to 3. Reserve now at pghnorthchamber.com.
We're along in the Monday edition of The Ride Home, thinking about a lot of things. We got open phones right now at 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. You can call about whatever you'd like. If you've got questions about the show or you want to make a comment about something in today's news, or maybe you have a strong feeling about baseball, or you're super excited about the Pirates and their debut at PNC Park tonight.
Or you're wearing a mask.
From you, or yeah, you better be wearing a mask. 800-320-8255. Before we went to break, John, you were talking about the $600 stimulus checks, which are going to disappear. $600 a week stimulus checks.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a stimulus check. What's it called?
I'm not sure the proper name for it.
Like an employment replacement check.
Right. You know, which has helped millions and millions of people since the pandemic began here. And, yeah. You know, I have friends, I have family members who are on the bubble here. And of course, a lot of people have been very wise about this and they've squirreled away thousands of dollars of that bonus, that $600 bonus money, but now it's going to come to an end. And so then what?
Right.
If, you know, your mortgage is due and you've got maybe, you know, $4,000 in the bank or whatever you've, you know, been able to save, then what? 800-320-8255. We're shotgunning this and just scattershot. If you want to talk about that, we'd love to hear from you. How about we go to the phones and talk to Greg? Hey, Greg, thanks for coming along today with Kath and I.
Hey,
are you on the road, friend?
John. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But man, this topic is, such a testimony for me, because when this thing started, my company, because we were hit pretty hard, they decided to scale us down from making $1,100 a week down to $1,000 a week, right?
Okay.
So when that happened, I just with my relationship with God, I went straight to God, and I said, "All right, God, I'm not going to panic because I want to panic." And I said, I'm going to, with my tithe and offering, God, I'm going to act as if I'm still making $1,100 a week, and I'm going to continue to give you what I've been giving you. And I have to tell you guys, I'm doing better now bringing $700 a week home opposed to when I was bringing $800 a week home.
That's good.
Really? Why?
Because
so why
I
is that?
Because I decided in my heart to give him his and not scale back and say, "Well, I can't afford to give my tithes and my offering. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." I said, "Lord, I'm going to continue to give you what I've been giving you." And he said to my heart, "Okay, I got you."
Fabulous. So being faithful matters, does it not?
Well, it's not just about being faithful. That's not really the ticket. What I want to say to our listeners is having a relationship with him, being able to trust him in the panic.
Yeah, that is so important.
Being able to say, "Okay, I'm scared, God, right now. I'm in a place where I haven't been. But I'm going to put it out there and say," because having faith and trusting is two different things.
That's good. Okay, thanks for that, Greg. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Greg, we appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thanks for being listening to us as a faithful listener.
Yeah, man, you guys, I listen to you guys every single day on this road.
You're sweet.
You guys are good. Okay, guys.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. 800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. Mike, you got another caller set up here?
Yeah, we got Anonymous. Okay, Anonymous, welcome in. Tell us what you'd like to talk about.
Hi, is this me?
Hi.
Yes, sir, it's you.
Hi. Okay, I'm Noah. I wasn't trying to be anonymous or anything. It just went straight to the radio. I completely agree with what the last guy said. You really need to just have faith in God in these, you know, in difficult times as these are, as we've heard that said so many times. Specifically about the unemployment checks, though. I know my grandfather works in the trash industry, and they use a lot of truck drivers. And a lot of the truck drivers are just refusing to come back to work because they'd rather sit at home and make $600 a week than come in and make, you know, drive all day and make $700 a week. And where I work in construction, and we just had a guy, an operator, come in. He drives a bulldozer. He did an excellent job driving a bulldozer. He worked for 2 days and then quit because he would rather stay on the unemployment. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people who really need this right now, but they need to have a better system for vetting who gets it. And I think in the long run, shutting it down will be the best option.
Okay, that's a good call. So thanks. So we hear today that that's the dividing line between Democrats and Republicans, that they're saying, well, the $600 has been great for a while, but now we want to come back and we'll give you $200 instead of the $600 as, you know, an enticement, get yourself back into the workforce.
Right, right. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. The last thing any of us needs is a disincentive to work. And I include myself in that. We all need that impetus. Human nature.
You want to show up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, your heart breaks for people who are struggling right now. I mean, you know, I mean, the hammer is going to fall here for people. And I think it's, I mean, if anyone's ever collected an unemployment check, you know how scary that is, especially when you got a mortgage and you got kids and, you know, there's a lot of hanging in the balance here. Mm-hmm. And now, more than anything, with this pandemic, who knows? I mean, this could go on for another year. It seems crazy to think that, but
God
it could,
forbid.
Right?
God forbid it. All right, we got Mike on the air.
800-320-8255, 800-320-8255. Hey, Mike, you're with us. What are your thoughts, please?
Well, as a business owner and someone who's been in business for almost 40 years now, I don't understand why we gave people extra money in the first place. You know, if you were just regularly laid off from your job without the pandemic, you get your unemployment. That's what it's there for. So now we're giving extra, and as the previous caller said, the incentive to come back to work is gone. We've already created, I hate to say this, but a lazy workforce, and now the government is perpetuating that. I from the beginning, didn't understand why we wanted to give you extra money to stay home.
Right. That's well, different. I think I'll just speak from my understanding that because there was no end in sight in March and April when this whole thing was unfolding, who knew what was going to happen? So as a gigantic Band-Aid, until there was some sort of clarity, of course, there's no clarity even now, at least in the short term, people were being helped so they could pay their rent, they could pay their mortgage. Because unemployment is never enough to cover your bills. And, you know, there have been periods in my life where I have been unemployed, and it's, you know, only at best, it's a half to three quarters of your regular earnings.
Right. And from a governmental perspective, it also really was a stimulus check. I mean, they were hoping that it would rescue the economy.
Right.
That's what they were hoping. So it wasn't just like a governmental assistance check, like a welfare situation. It wasn't just that. They were really hoping, A, it was going to keep people going, and it was going to cause people to spend money somewhere.
Right. And, well, of course, I believe that it did do that, right?
On the upside, people, I have never been this busy in my business in 30-some, 40 years.
No kidding. Tell us your business?
I'm in a heating and air conditioning business. And of course, the 90-degree temperature has helped.
Right.
But believe me, people are very willing to buy and they're not just buying the low end stuff; they're buying the good stuff.
No kidding, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, anyways, hey, thanks for hearing me out.
Yeah, good phone call. Appreciate it. Okay, 800-320-8255. How's our time? We're gonna have to break here in just a minute or so.
Okay, all right, let's go to a break now. What do you say?
Okay, should we go to a break? Do you want to take a phone call? Okay, take a break. Be back. Stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes. It's the Monday edition. Super hot. Thanks for that heating and air conditioning.
Hey,
How do you keep a biblical perspective in a pandemic accompanied by a mental health crisis? As COVID-19 has spread, prescriptions for anti-anxiety medications have nearly doubled. Yet in a world consumed by worry, God has a purpose for anxiety, and that's the subject of a timely new book, The End of Anxiety, the biblical prescription for overcoming fear, worry, and panic. Written by pastor and biblical counselor Josh Weidman, it offers his personal prescription with practical steps and biblical answers for coping with stress and deepening trust and dependence on God. The End of Anxiety can help you find peace and joy in times of uncertainty, fear, and darkness. Our main goal as Christians is to glorify God in everything we do. And as the author opens his life and personal journey in this book, he shows how suffering, anxiety, and our mental battles can bring God the glory. The End of Anxiety, the biblical prescription for overcoming fear, worry, and panic. Available at Amazon and wherever books are sold. Learn more at endofanxiety.com.
Hey, Pittsburgh. I'm Father Paul Abernathy, CEO of the Neighborhood Resilience Project. There's a lot to consider when it comes to your child's health, but I know getting our children vaccinated with all CDC-recommended doses at the scheduled time is important to help protect them from serious illnesses. A number of immunizations are recommended by the CDC before age 2. Visit VaccinateOurChildren.com to find information on how you can get your children up to date with their immunizations. A message from the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh in partnership with Pfizer.
We are, of course, living in uncharted territory. Now, if you have kids who are in college or are about to be, this also is a layer of uncertainty and perhaps deep disappointment. We've got a child who is in a state university. It looks like as though they're going to be Zooming classes. But Grove City College is committed to opening schools this fall and having students to come back. We're not quite sure what that looks like, but Grove City will be open for business this year.
Listen, John, I can't tell you how pleased I've been with the amount of communication that we've gotten from the school, just about how they're making decisions and where they are at this time, and just recognizing the, you know, the variabilities of where we are right now in America. But I think at moments like this, when there is so much uncertainty, the thing I keep falling back on is the importance of hanging with people I can trust, people who've already established their reliability before this COVID emergency, so that going forward, I can say, okay, I know these people and I trust that they're going to make a good decision.
I agree with that. So if you're looking for a school that has a strong biblical backbone with believers who are there and an excellent educational initiative, it's Grove City College. Look online at grovecitycollegegcc.edu. Grove City College opens this fall.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there.
We're on your Google speaker too, plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. 101.5 WORDFM, Pittsburgh.
Tonight, cloudy and humid with a couple of showers and a heavy thunderstorm below 68. Tomorrow, cloudy with a shower or a thunderstorm around in the morning and becoming less humid, high 85. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 64. Wednesday, intervals of clouds and sunshine. High Wednesday, 85. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Brian May.
It's kind of rare we delve into politics in this sort of vein here on the ride home. However, really, just I was starting to talk about this because my heart breaks for where people are with, you know, unemployment, you know, long-term unemployment, it looks like, for a lot of people. So these stimulus checks that are happening, you know, been going on for a while, that extra $600 bonus, that's going to end. And of course, the eviction thing, that's about to, you know, kick into effect. So where are people right now in their lives? And how does that heartache and that terror, that, you know, that impending doom catch people? We're talking about that at 800-320-8255. Mike, let's go back to the phones. Who's with us, please? Caleb. Hey, Caleb. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, thank you. I'm good. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Thanks. Hi, Caleb. What do you have to say?
Okay. Well, I'm a local hairstylist in the Pittsburgh area. My experience has been a little bit different than some of the other callers. I hear a lot of people saying that they're concerned about the incentive to go back to work. And like you were saying before, originally unemployment wouldn't cover someone's full-time expenses. For some people, it did become more money. It did become a livable wage for a lot of people. But for some people, that $600 didn't even scratch the surface for them. But so for my experience as a hairstylist, we were shut down for the 3 months until we entered the green zone. And we went back on June 5th. Now, I don't know where people get this idea that you can just refuse to go back to work. I didn't have that opportunity. It would have been way more beneficial for me to refuse work, but that I don't know where people get that idea. Like when you even file your claim, you can't refuse work when work is available. So we went back to work. The first couple weeks was extremely busy. Everybody got their hair cut. And now we are extremely slow. Our company's been forced to lay off people. Our company's been forced to take full-time workers to part-time. So my hours, my wages have, like, significantly decreased. And it could look, I don't know what that may look like in the next coming weeks from a fiscal, you know, perspective. I mean, I definitely believe God is faithful. I'm believing that he's my provider. So I don't have, like, fear or worry. But I'm definitely having to seek ways to supplement my income because, you know, my traditional like career or, way of employment has significantly suffered. So, you know, I mean, it would have almost been more beneficial for them to allow us to run out the unemployment and save and then go back. But, you know, it is what it is. You have to go back, you know, whenever the work is available. So I guess I was kind of a little frustrated because I'm like, where are people getting this idea that you can just deny work or choose to, you know, keep collecting that $600 whenever work is available because you can't. So,
well, that's good. I appreciate that phone call. Thanks for that. But listen, you know, I mean, that's why you brought this up because we know people like yourself are suffering through these times. You know, truly, you are in our prayers. And as you say, God is in control and he will cover you and protect you. But at the same time, there has got to be a lot of fear and a lot of terror in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, Kayla, thanks for calling. In case you're still listening, I do want to say this isn't much, but Mike looks like heck. He really needs a haircut.
Needs a haircut. Yeah. He is super shaggy. He really does.
Okay, we got Leo on the phone. Leo, welcome. What do you say?
Hi. Well, I have three short things to say. The first thing I want...
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Hello?
Hey, Leo. What's up?
I have three things to say. The first thing is... all the talk of they've been given about these stimulus packages that they keep handing out, and never once have I heard the Republicans talk about cutting anything to the corporations or to the rich, just to the poorest of the poor. That's one thing. Another thing is, after this is over, I think this should be one of the things we all talk about as a country. Obviously, if people can't live on, if we have a whole bunch of people who, if they get laid off for a while, can't survive, then maybe there's something about the way we do that unemployment system. I used to work for the Department of Labor and Industry, and part of the job I did over the years was with unemployment. And people on unemployment get like John was saying, only half of what they collect, what they made. So already they're in the hole, and I know some countries. I think in Europe there are a number of countries where if you get laid off, you can earn you can get back from the government 90% up to 90% of what you were making.
Right.
But again, you get into the same circumstance where you don't want to give people a disincentive to work. It's all about the balancing act. And, you know, I get what you're saying about corporations. At the same time, every time I hear that, Leo, I think, you know, corporations are made up of people, right? So, my dad worked for a corporation for, you know, my dad worked there 49 years or something like that. So when the corporation benefited, he benefited too.
Right.
Well, but these are the people, when you talk about the corporations and the people at the top particularly, they have enough money stashed away themselves in the Cayman Islands or wherever that they don't even need a stimulus package. Whereas the people who are you're not going to find anybody who lives in Beverly Hills who they're worrying right now about losing their home.
Right.
Okay. Where you have people in Southside are probably worried a lot about being evicted.
Yeah, so, sure. Of course, I get that. All right,
Leo. Good phone call. We need to step away, but we appreciate everybody. And listen, seriously, if you're in that position, again, as always, we're thinking about you. We pray for you in your terror and this moment that, you know, it could be catastrophic for many, many millions of people across the United States. We'll step away. David French is going to be with us in a few minutes. We're going to talk about coronavirus, conspiracy theories, and the Ninth Commandment. Stick around for that conversation. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
WORD.
And they lived happily ever after.
Ever wonder if they did? That's why Family Life Today wants to give you their Take Your Marriage from Good to Great bundle with online marriage videos, audio sessions, and downloads of an ebook, a couple quiz, and a questionnaire. You'll also be entered to win dinner for two with Family Life Today's Dave and Ann Wilson and attend a live taping of the program.
Sign up to win now at wordfm.com/marriage.
Audiences everywhere are saying Uncle Tom is a must-see movie.
Fantastic.
Absolutely wonderful.
Excellent.
Breathtaking.
A movie that is changing hearts and minds.
I really feel inspired.
We're going to put up statues because of what this film may do.
An eye-opening masterpiece of the real history of America.
They want to cover up history.
I didn't study that kind of stuff when I was in history.
They are actively learning their history wrong.
Why have you hidden this from me?
Starring Larry Elder.
And Uncle Tom is somebody who has sold out by embracing the white man.
Candace Owens.
I'm a black female. I should be at the top of the progressive stack.
Brandon Tatum.
They believe that I want to be accepted in the white community. Kind of like the house Negro back in slavery.
And Herman Cain.
As my late grandfathers used to say, I does not care.
These are the voices of the movie Uncle Tom. Purchase now at UncleTom.com. Use promo code MOVIE for 20% off.
Work at home. Work out at home. Second period math at home. Date night at home. Lately, we're doing a lot more at home, which means we're doing a lot less driving. With pay-per-mile car insurance from Allstate, you get the same reliable coverage you'd expect, but only pay for the miles you drive. Drive less, save more with Allstate. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote.
Price based on driving behaviors and includes daily rates subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the blue star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast, or your money back.
It's getting harder and harder to make sense out of today's headlines. To stay on top of breaking world and national news with a Christian worldview and a faith-based perspective on what it means, turn to ChristianHeadlines.com. Log on to ChristianHeadlines.com for the very latest news, and then sign up for our free daily newsletter to stay one step ahead of what's happening. Get out of the mainstream media rut with top news and positive headlines every day with ChristianHeadlines.com.
I'm a wife,
a sister,
and a grandfather.
I'm an office clerk.
I'm a research analyst,
dance fitness instructor,
actor.
I'm a copywriter.
I'm a veteran.
I have lupus,
cerebral palsy.
I'm blind.
And I'm working in a job I love.
I love.
Because I was given a chance.
To contribute my skills and talents.
To show that my disability
is only one part of who I am.
Who I am.
Who I am.
At work, it's what people can do that matters.
For more information, visit whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Looking for more than just a job? Searching for a career path with a higher calling? Find a job you can believe in and get excited about at ChristianJobs.com. ChristianJobs.com is the largest Christian employment website with thousands of job listings. They connect devoted people like you with thoughtful employers that share your values. Once you log on and see the quality job opportunities available, you'll never settle for just a job again. Log on to ChristianJobs.com. That's ChristianJobs.com.
A daughter's squeal of delight can't be made in a factory or bottled in a jar or imported. It's a byproduct of the most important business in the world, raising children.
Daddy, look at that picture I drew at school.
Kids need fatherly love and input. They need a manly ear to hear about their accomplishments. They need dad to make them obey.
Hey, Dad, what do you think about my new hairstyle?
When men make family life a top priority, studies show their children are better adjusted socially. healthier, and perform better at school.
Dad, I met the man I want to marry. He's just like you, Daddy.
No business success provides the satisfaction that a healthy, happy, loving family brings. Dad, your children need you. Be there for them, now and for the years to come. A friendly reminder for your family from Focus on the Family.
I have a friend, at least two friends, my guess is you may have more, who daily send me the latest viral conspiracy theories. And they run the gamut from the Illuminati to JFK's assassination to masks to you name it. It is always something that is secretive, that requires immediate attention, and it is from very dark, dangerous places. Well, David French is back with us. David's been a regular guest on our show for many years. He is part of The Dispatch, which we'll talk about a little later on in the show, in the segment. But his latest piece is called Coronavirus Conspiracy Theories and the Ninth Commandment. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, for those of you that are following on Facebook, you can see David's face for the first time on our live stream. Look at him. See, he's a real person. He's got a face.
That's right.
That's right. For those of you who've always said, what does he look like? You should log on right now to Facebook Live, The Ride Home with John and Kathy, or 101.5 Word FM. Okay. Again, I mean, it's like a broken record. Every time you're on, David, I just talk about how much I love The Dispatch and how great of an article you wrote again this week, because the conspiracy thing, it drives me out of my mind. And here's the reason why. I think that at heart for me, the difficulty is that it is so unkind. It is so ungenerous in its approach.
Yeah. Well, it's a form of bearing false witness. I mean, what it is, conspiracy theories in many ways are very vicious lies. And I say vicious, not necessarily in the sense of the conspiracy theorists or the people who hold these views in good faith are vicious people, but the lie itself, what it is saying about the person, like whether it's Bill Gates is going to be injecting people with, you know, nanochips, or that governors intentionally closed, not because the virus was bad, but to harm Trump and threw millions of people out of the work to harm Trump. Think of what you're saying about these human beings. It's you're saying a vicious thing about them. And so what is a conspiracy theory in essence is a lie told at scale. Mm. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, you know, I was remembering my Westminster Larger Catechism.
Good for you.
And it has a lot more to say when it's discussing and it's providing commentary on the Ninth Commandment. It's much more than just do not lie. It's approaching our neighbors, and here's a key part of it. It says having a charitable esteem of our neighbors, loving, desiring, and rejoicing in their good name, sorrowing for and covering for their infirmities.
Oh my gosh.
Freely acknowledging their gifts and graces, defending their innocence, a ready receiving of a good report, and an unwillingness to admit of an evil report concerning them, discouraging talebearers, flatterers, and slanderers.
Wow.
So that's a little bit different than being ready to receive a conspiracy theory.
It surely is. So we were talking a little earlier on in the show about groupthink. So what is it then, David, especially as Christians, and I'm sure you're the same, and Kath as well, that we get these forwards all the time. Why are Christians especially willing to delve into these dark conspiracy theories, which more often than not are just complete and total rubbish?
Well, we're more a part of our culture than sometimes we like to admit. And we live in a time of very low trust in institutions, and we live in a time of very high animosity, partisan animosity. Yeah. So if you have low trust and you have high animosity, you are fertile ground for conspiracy theory.
Right.
Anything that is going to make political opponent, somebody you already mistrust and maybe already don't like, make them look worse, or you're going to be ready to receive that negative report. Exactly the opposite of that Ninth Commandment imperative. You're going to be ready to receive it. You're fertile soil. And so you hear it and you go, oh, that's why it's happening, because you already have that negative disposition to begin with. Now, that doesn't mean we should be gullible you know, I mean, that we just blindly trust.
Sure.
Right.
Right. Sure. Of course.
So you don't be blindly trust. But my general view is, if somebody's going to come at me with something really negative, you're going to have to bear the burden of proof here. Mm-hmm. And the wilder the story, the higher the burden of proof. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to tell me that this pandemic was planned, you know, you better bring to me something other than like this one person on a viral video who claims a vast conspiracy. You're going to have to come with more than that. And so my view is, look, if you're going to speak negatively, you're going to have to carry a pretty high burden of proof. And the wilder the claim, the higher the burden.
David French is with us, senior editor at The Dispatch. We'll talk more about The Dispatch at the conclusion of our conversation today. David, let's talk about political theology. So for those of us who spend time in churches, whether we're on church staffs or theologians or pastors or campus ministers or whatever it is, we talk a lot about Christian formation, right? This is how we help each other to understand the demands of the gospel in different parts of our lives. So we understand our vocation or our marriage or the way we spend our money or whatever it is, in light of the fact that we are part of God's kingdom first, called to serve and love Jesus above everything else. And then that's going to help us to be good spenders. It's going to help us to be good spouses, right? Mm-hmm. But you bring up a very good point that nobody ever talks about how to engage well in politics as a Christian, as far as Christian formation.
Right. It's not really part of our Christian formation. To the extent that we have Christian formation about politics, it's usually talking about issues. A Christian should be concerned.
This is what
with
you should
issue.
Think. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Be pro-life, be for religious liberty. You know, be against religious persecution in China. You know, there are these issues. But what we're not talked to, how many people have heard about sort of the ninth commandment in the context of politics?
Never. I never have.
You know, you just never hear anything like that. And so what ends up happening is we kind of default to the rest of the culture in our conduct, and our distinctiveness isn't in our conduct. Our distinctiveness is in our issues. And so we'll act like everybody else. And then we apply reasoning in our political selves that we'd never apply in other aspects. So for example, if your business is failing and you're about to lose your house, I mean, this is a real crisis. No one would think, well, I need to start committing consumer fraud now because being good hasn't worked, right?
Right.
But what do we say all the time in politics? You say, well, you know, people need to be decent. They need to approach others with kindness. You need to bless your enemy, bless those who persecute you. Well, that doesn't work. Wait a minute. That's not the calculus. The obedience calculus is not you're obedient until it doesn't work. The obedience calculus is you're obedient.
Yes, regardless.
Right.
So then, David, for anyone who is presupposed to go ahead and, you know, read these conspiracy theories and then pass them along, there's got to be a gate there, right? I mean, so for you, when you read this, because I'm sure, you know, sometimes you're going to go, wait, is this legit? Can this really be true? What stops you from pushing them forward?
I mean, I'm a skeptical person. You know, I'm very skeptical about these conspiracy theories.
Yes.
And if you're going to tell me something, again, like I said, the wilder it is, the wilder it is, the less I'm going to be willing to believe it.
That's good.
And the more evidence you got to bring. And if you're telling me that you had a mass scale conspiracy to shut down the country to stop Donald Trump, you got to bring that evidence. If you're going to tell me that this pandemic was planned and Dr. Fauci was part of it, you're going to have to bring me some real serious evidence. And
that's good.
So just make them prove it beyond the viral video.
Very good.
Yeah. Now that requires, of course, engaging and that you have to have enough like emotional capital to be able to get into that.
Instead of hitting send.
Well, instead of hitting delete.
Hmm. Yeah. Another thing you can do, especially if you are not, really don't have time to engage a lot, is just wait. Just wait. A lot of these coronavirus conspiracy theories have just dissolved in light of the overwhelming facts. It's just the flu. Nope. Masks don't work. Nope. You just wait. And a lot of this stuff, don't dive in on it. Just wait.
Very good.
Yeah. All right, David, we only have a couple minutes left, but I do want to bring up one of the instances that you talk about in your article, which is that you've got the nicest guy in the world who goes to your church. He'll do anything for you. He'd come in the middle of the night to fix your pipes. He'd do whatever it is, but he goes onto Facebook and he turns into some kind of like unbelievable ogre.
Yeah. Rageaholic. Well, it's just like what I was saying earlier. It's that we have brought all of these aspects of our lives under captivity to Christ. And then for some reason, for a lot of us, we've carved out this politics exception.
We can act however we want.
The stakes are too great.
Ends
justify the means. And it's so, it's so incongruous with the other aspects of their lives. And what people need to realize, especially on social media, is sometimes the only thing anyone will know about you at all is what they read what you say on Facebook or read what you say on Twitter. That's the only thing they'll know about you. So if that's going to be the only thing that they know about you, it's going to be hard for you to say, but I'm a good person in other areas.
Right.
You should be the person you're called to be in every area.
That's really good.
Not carve out.
Very powerful. Hey, David, take a minute and talk to us about the Dispatch. It's in my mailbox first thing in the morning. Yep. It's really vital reading for me. We love it.
Me too.
Oh, thanks. It's thedispatch.com, and it's a new conservative. We're founded by conservatives, but we're not partisan. We're not Republican. We're not Democrat. We're independent in our thinking, and what we're doing is we're putting a pause on the outrage cycle. We're putting a pause on stop to the clickbait. We're trying to take a deeper, longer look at what's happening from an independent intellectual perspective. And I'm really proud of the work my colleagues have done. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's terrific.
We've had an overwhelming response.
Yes, it's excellent. Yeah. It just goes to show you how hungry people are for some good, honest, common sense
truth.
Doesn't
that make you feel good? It makes you feel good. It's, you know what? It's substantive, it's thought-provoking, and it's winsome.
Very good.
You guys don't take yourself too seriously. We're big fans.
Very nice.
Yeah, well, appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Check out The Dispatch. David French, always a pleasure. We'll take a break, step away. We got a little smidge left, so stay with us. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
Bye, David. Bye.
Do you feel like there are more unanswered questions and few honest explanations about why so many of our liberties are under attack? Find out how we get back to a place of order and normalcy when you stream Morality in the 21st Century on Salem Now. Dennis Prager and Dr. Wayne Grudem confront the toughest social issues we face, and through never-before-told personal stories, you get a clear direction for a visionary future for this nation in this on-demand video special. Visit SalemNow.com to stream Morality in the 21st Century and type in the code Pittsburgh for a 20% discount. That's SalemNow.com.
You know what you could do? You could completely rid of all the grass in your backyard and turn it into a gigantic neon green trampoline park. Or you could turn all the walls in your home office into a massive vending machine display where only you know the special code and only Rolos and Fritos pop out. Hey, it's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage. And one thing we're seeing from hundreds of families across the country is the cash out refinance. Home values have gone up significantly the last few years, leaving many families with the ability to cash out the equity in their home to use for life. Usually it's for normal things like paying off credit card debt or doing home upgrades. But it could be for a vending machine room. Just saying. If you're curious of your options, we'd love to help. We are United Faith Mortgage.
See our story and read how our direct lender advantage can often save your family monthly and lifelong money at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
Wahoo!
United Mortgage Corp, Melville, New York. MLS number 1330. Department of Banking. Mortgage Lender License number 22672.
Washington County parents, you have a choice in your child's education. So why not consider a private Christian school that's been serving the community for nearly 40 years? At Central Christian Academy in Houston, pre-K through 8th grade students receive the comprehensive education they need to propel them to the top of the class in high school and beyond. Central Christian Academy creates model student leaders other kids look up to. Students prepared for a world that needs Jesus. Schedule a private tour and learn more at ccaschool.com.
Coming down the home stretch is Liberty Mutual, followed by Customizes Your Car Insurance. But wait, from the back comes So You Only Pay For What You Need. So it's Liberty Mutual, Customizes Your Car Insurance, So You Only Pay For What You Need. And I'm pretty sure this is just an elaborate insurance ad.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
WORD celebrates the high school class of 2020, and we'd like to reward your college-bound senior's achievement during our Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes presented by Salem Media Group. Enter now through August 20th for a chance to win a $500 school package. Click the contest banner at wordfm.com and upload a photo of your senior with a short bio of their future plans. Then, Friday, August 21st, one lucky senior will win a $500 school package. The Senior Spotlight Sweepstakes, brought to you in part by Salem Media Group, Salem Surround, and this station.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This
One saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you are someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. Visit MatchingDonors.com or call 601-402-9138.
I mean, that's a great conversation. Make them prove it, right, with the conspiracy theories. Because like David said, you know wonderful people who succumb to this stuff. They email you this, they forward it, and you think, what's going on? I know that guy. I know that lady. She's terrific. But she's, you know, sucked something up, hook, line, and sinker, and there's no credence to it.
Right. And it is true that you have a person who's a friend or someone you know from church or something who's the nicest, most sweet, giving individual. And they get on Facebook or Twitter and they turn into a demon.
Right.
I mean, I really think we all, each one of us needs to take a moment to assess what we're saying online.
Well, it's this cloak of invisibility we think we have, which is ridiculous. No, of course not.
It's not invisibility.
Anyway, thanks for being with us. Always a great pleasure to share this time with you. Look for us online at wordfm.com or The Ride Home with John and Kathy on Facebook.
Let's go, Bucks. Tomorrow.
Yeah, let's go, Bucks.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.